now, your hosts for Life from the Pulpit. Here's Nick Perez.
Yes, and how's it? And welcome to Life from the Pulpit. You can't stop it, you can only hope to contain it. The fastest half-hour podcast in the West, coming to you live and local from deep in the heart of the San Joaquin Valley, deep in the heart of Merced Church of Christ. I am your guide on this excursion into theology and other sundry matters, the voice of the valley, Nick Perez, offering up news and views you can use on Scripture and society with a little help from my friends. Greetings and welcome to the program. You may have heard before someone talking to you, asking you about what church you go to. What church do you attend? And tell them that you go to thus and such Church of Christ, and they say, oh, we go to this church over here. You know, after all churches are just as good as one another. We're all sort of on the same path. We're all, or maybe we're on different paths, but we're up the same mountain, right? We're all heading up the same mountain. One church as good as another. Is it? I'm just asking. Are all churches just as good as another? You know, it's interesting. You go, and I've been to some of the other churches in town. I've been to the local mega church. I've been to the local Baptist church. They've all got differences. Very different, even from the local Church of Christ. So they do stuff differently. Worship is different. The mega church, they had the band going, playing their set, their so many songs set. I don't remember how many it was, but. And then their pastor got up and gave a lesson. They didn't take communion. They did pass the plate. but that was over at the mega church. I went over to the local Baptist church, which, by the way, I've been blacklisted from. Yeah, they don't like other pastors. That's what they called. That's their word that they called me. That's not me. I'm just a preacher, but they don't like it when I show up over there. So the local pastor said, "Hey, don't come back. Otherwise, I'm going to call the cops." But that's a story for another time. They do stuff. They have a piano. Play the piano up there. And I didn't go on a. Come to think of it, I didn't go on a Sunday to the local mega church. But I did ask someone if it was pretty much the same. They said, yeah, it's pretty much the same on Sunday. They had their Saturday evening service. That's what I went to. And I asked someone, is the Sunday service usually? Yeah, it's the same pretty much. But the Baptist church, the local Baptist church, they had the piano going. So already differences arise. We don't have the piano. We don't have the band. And it's not that we don't have musically gifted people here. There are some guys here who know how to play the guitar. I'm sure there's some member here. Well, I know there's a member here that can play the piano. But we don't include that in our worship because we are convinced and convicted from the Word that that's not what God desires. He hasn't asked for that. I like pancakes, and I like spaghetti. But you don't put the two together. At any rate, churches, already you see there are differences. But how about it? One church as good as another. A guy by the name of Dillard Thurman writes for the Gospel Minutes. He wrote an article about this, and I think he brings some things to the table which are beneficial. And so I'll share some of those as I go in this program. The bottom line is, someone who argues that, hey, one church is as good as another, the local mega church is as good as the other Baptist church, which is as good as the church that I'm at here, the Church of Christ in Merced, it's really, you're really contending for a very vulnerable position. And it can pretty easily be pointed out that, well, if we talk from a New Testament perspective, if we talk from a biblical perspective, one church is not just as good as another church. You know, it's interesting, just for illustrative purposes, in the political realm, no one would ever think to say, you know, one political party is just as good as another political party. Dems, Repubs, Independents. You only have to listen to what these guys are saying, right? Just go to the conventions where they hammer out the platforms, and you'll see vastly different camps. Democrats are not the same as Republicans, are not the same as Independents. And all those are different from the Green Party and from the Tea Party and from, the list goes on and on. They differ in the political arena. That difference is just as marked in the religious realm. You know, how else can you explain these differences? These churches differ. And in fact, usually the difference comes down to the positions, the biblical positions that we hold compared to other churches. Typically, it's a creed or a manual that is upheld and supported in these churches. Churches wear different names: Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian. Some claim to be non-denominational, and their name reflects that. The local church, the local mega church in town, is called Yosemite Church. There's the Christian Life Center over off of Olive here in town. You could name them in your own town, wherever you are. They hold different practices, talked about that already. And of course, they jealously guard their membership. That's why I'm blacklisted from the local Baptist church. That pastor doesn't want me poaching sheep, as he put it. And so even that, just from that standpoint, already disproves the claim that, you know, all churches are sort of created equal. One church is as good as another. But then we dig a little deeper, and we go to the biblical text. And when it comes to church, the church only has one builder. Matthew 16:18, Jesus talks about who that builder is. It's him. He's the one who built his church. It says, I will build my church. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So when it comes to the churches that are around today, based on that promise from Jesus, would someone dare hold to the position that one church, any old church, is just as good as another church? In light of the fact that Jesus only built one church. If Jesus isn't the builder, then whose church is it? If Jesus built his church, and he did, then that church can't be compared to other churches. I mean, who would have the audacity to compare the church Jesus built to a church that men built? Well, some do. It is the Lord who adds to his church. I mean, he built his church. It just makes sense that he would add to it, right? On the day of Pentecost, Peter preaches gospel sermon. People hear it, say, "What shall we do?" They've been cut to the heart. He says, "Repent, be immersed, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and for your children, for those who are far off." With many other words, he exhorted them, said, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." And then, verse 41, the people who heard him and received his message were baptized. They were immersed. I think that'd be a good question. Does your church immerse people? And is it for the same reasons that Peter said? Forgiveness of your sins, reception of the Holy Spirit. Or do those things come at a different point, before baptism? I talked with a guy, taught and baptized a fellow here just a couple weeks ago, who'd been over at the, not the Baptist church I'm blacklisted from, but from the other Baptist church in town. And he said that he got saved that last Sunday morning. I said, "How'd that happen?" He pulled a little booklet and said, "Right here." And I leafed through it real quick, and sure enough, there's a little prayer you got to pray. Put your faith in Jesus, say this prayer, and you're saved. Can we schedule your baptism? And in fact, he had been scheduled for a baptism like 3 weeks in the future. And I looked at him and said, "Huh, that's kind of interesting, because that's different than what I read in the Bible." And we talked about it, and sure enough, he came to the conclusion that what he had done before, he's not a saved individual, and we took care of that. Well, the people who received Peter's word on Pentecost were baptized, and they were added unto the disciples who formed the core nucleus of the church of Christ at the time. They were added 3,000 souls that day. Verse 37, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The church was growing. How? Well, the Lord was adding to his people. The Lord was doing it. And that happened at the baptistry. So joining one church, just as good as joining any other church, right? Well, not if it's the Lord's church that we're talking about. That's usually a very different church than the other churches in town. But when you consider that God has chosen the church which Jesus built, well, they'd be saved by entering into the church the way the Lord prescribed. That's how he would add them, was through immersion. And oh, by the way, there's only one church. Now, there are individual congregations of the Lord's church. Paul talks about the churches of Christ that salute you, Romans 16:16. But they're all part of the one body, as it is what is being talked about there. Ephesians 4:4, there is one body and one spirit. Well, what's the body? That's a figure of the church. How do you know? Turn the page to Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul says in verse 23 that Christ is head of his church, which is his body. Some people point at Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 and use that as the evidence that Jesus is the head of the church. But in fact, it says that he's head of all things to the church in that passage. You got to go to the passage where it talks about what we're trying to say here. And Ephesians 5, 23 is one of those passages which say that Jesus is head of the church. You could also look at Colossians 1, 18. He's head of the body, the church. And that church is one. One holy Catholic church. And I'm using that word Catholic not in the way it's meant or used today and thrown around by the Catholic Church, but in the way it was originally meant back in the day, which just means universal. You know, the Bible doesn't recognize any other spiritual institution except the church. And Jesus says in Matthew 15:13 that every plant which isn't planted by the Father, it's rooted up. So, and Jesus, he doesn't take that back. He doesn't apologize for it. And no one can make him apologize and take that back. So if there's just one church, which Jesus built, then is one church just as good as another church? I think we need to think about that. This seems like a good place to remind you that this half hour is brought to you by the Merced Church of Christ. Located at 2050 Yosemite Parkway, the Merced Church of Christ is composed of people devoted to the Word of God, people devoted to the worship of God, and people devoted to the work of God. Our purpose is to see as many people as possible following Jesus as closely as possible, all toward a more united fellowship with one another. The Merced Church of Christ meets every Lord's Day, that Sunday, for Bible study at 9:30 a.m., morning worship at 10:30 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. We also meet for midweek Bible study on Wednesday at 7 p.m. She's served by her preaching minister, Nick Perez, yours truly. Go online and visit www.mercedchurchofchrist.org. Merced Church of Christ, a friendly church with a vital message. There's one body, and there's only one head. That's what Paul said, right? Christ is its head. He's the head of the church. He says that in Ephesians 5:23. He says that in Colossians 1 and verse 18. So, yeah, Christ is the head. And so we begin to put this thing together. People talk about, you know, one church as good as another. Well, does that mean that there can be one head and multiple bodies? That's a monstrosity, isn't it? No, there's only one body. Conversely, when it comes to the head, there's only one head, that's Christ, and so does it make sense to have one body with two heads? No, that's a monstrosity as well. And both of those monstrosities are things which our denominational friends and all these denominational pastors would have us believe that it's okay. One church is as good as another. It's okay that Jesus has multiple bodies, even though there's only one head. And the monstrosity of two heads with one body is what the Catholic Church tries to promote and propagate. It's just not going to work. So the argument that, you know, a local church, you know, the great getting up glorious gospel universal church of whatever, that church is just as good as any other church. Well, who's the head? Well, it's Pastor so-and-so. Not going to buy it. Not going to buy it. If it's headed by a mere man, I don't want it. Well, there's only one spiritual institution that's headed by the Son of God, and that's his church, the Church of Christ. Scripture calls the church the household of God. 1 Timothy 3:15. It's the pillar and ground of truth. That is also used over in Ephesians 2:19-20, the household of God. It's really the family, right? The family of God. That's the church. So one household is as good as another household, right? One family is as good as any other family. Well, it depends. And in fact, one household, one family is probably better than the other family, depending upon who the head of the family is. And I'm speaking not in physical terms here. I'm talking about there's a household that's headed by Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then there are all these other families which claim to be the one family of God. Actually, I don't even know if they claim that. They'll probably say, no, yeah, one church is good as another. Wherever you can find Christ, however you can best serve him, that's all right. One of my elders was in here the other day, And we were talking about some of this. He said his wife's family, they went to a church which the, I don't know if he's reverend or pastor or what, but he got up at the end to offer the invitation. And essentially his invitation was, look, if we can help you, that's great, but really all these other churches can help you as well. I mean, just boggles the mind. Here's perhaps one of the biggest factors here. The church is the bride of Christ. That's how Paul talks about it. Again, Ephesians 5. Paul says a lot about the church there at the close of Ephesians 5, but one of the things he says is that the husband is head of the wife, so Christ is head of his head of the church, which is his body. Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her, and he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the word. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. This is a profound mystery. I'm speaking of Christ and the church. That's all verses 23 through 33 of Ephesians 5. I just took some selected readings there. How much respect would you have for a man who just loved any and every woman that came his way? He loved every woman, any woman that came his way, just as much as he loved his own wife. That guy's a dirtbag, isn't he? He's a cad. And yet, isn't that what the religious realm and various denominations are trying to push on you? Trying to push on us. Yeah, Christ, you know, sure, the church is his bride. So he's got several brides. Is Christ some kind of polygamist? You see how absurd these thoughts are? How ridiculous this argument is? I mean, we've already shot it through with holes, but this one, for me, it really stands out. Would you make Christ an unfaithful adulterer by saying that one church is as good as another? That he has all these different brides that are out here. That's essentially what you're saying that's essentially what someone is saying when they say, yeah, one church is as good as another. Really? So Christ is a polygamist. I had no idea. It's absurd. It's absurd. Christ loves his church. He gave himself up for her. Now, if one church is as good as another, and you love one church as good as another, I love going to that church. I love going to this one because the pastor, whatever, then I'm afraid you're not demonstrating a Christ-like attitude and a Christ-like mind and Christ-like spirit, because Christ only loves one church. His own church. Christ, he's purchased the church with his own blood. Are all these churches purchased by the blood of Christ? Not if they're saying that baptism is not essential for salvation, because it's at the point of baptism when you are immersed into Christ and you have the blood of Christ, you come in contact with the blood of Christ for the very first time. Jesus is Savior of the church. Ephesians 5:23, he's the Savior of the body. That's the church. So did Jesus save all these other churches out here? He only died for one church, because there's just one body. You know, I'm sure that there's some out there who are probably hearing this and saying, well, wait a minute, but there are good people out in these churches. Okay, sure. And there are some good people outside of church. One of my neighbors is a great guy. Doesn't even go to church. Therefore, why? What do we say about that? Just because they're good people doesn't necessarily mean they're a member of the Lord's body. Now, here's the other aspect of this. You see, we're a part of what's known as the Restoration Movement. We are seeking to restore New Testament Christianity in the 21st century. What they practiced in the first century, we seek to restore that in the 21st century. So when it comes to the denominational realm, when it comes to the guys who started this off, kicked this thing off in America, the plea has always been to our denominational friends to abandon their unscriptural, unbiblical nomenclature and simply be Christians. N.B. Hardiman talks about in his Tabernacle sermons, preached them back in the 20s. He talks about how people that are part of these denominations, you know, the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, even the Catholic churches, he says they're more than Christians. What do you mean? Well, they're Baptist Christians, or they're Methodist Christians, or they're Presbyterian, or they're Catholic Christians, or what have you. And so Hardiman articulated just what guys like Campbell and Stone, all them, were articulating back in their day. It says, abandon that, no longer be more than Christians, and be just Christians. That's what the plea is, folks. That's what our plea is to our denominational friends. That's what it continues to be. Abandon your denominational nomenclature, your names. Abandon your denominational verbiage. You might have to change your language. Abandon your denominational affiliation and simply be Christians. Assume biblical names for your church. Practice biblical practices according to the Bible. Obey the gospel as is stipulated in the New Testament. If you have, and that's another thing. That's something that I believe it was Alexander Campbell, what he wrestled with. He said, there are good people out there. There are people who manifest the fruit of the Spirit, and they're probably doing it better than I am. What do we do with these folks? And if I understand it correctly, what he would say is that those people have probably obeyed the gospel the way that Christ and the apostles said to obey it. And so therefore they're brothers, sisters in Christ. But they do need to be called out of that denominational realm into the one true body, the one true church. That's another thing you got to factor into this thing. Reappraise where you are. Is that the church that Jesus died for? Is that the church of which Jesus is Savior? Is that church of which he is head? Because if it doesn't have his name, you know, when a wife gets married, she takes the name of her husband. We're supposed to take the name as the bride of Christ. And if they haven't been obedient, well, maybe it's time after your reappraisal to abandon that denomination and come into the one true church. I'm out of time. But feel free to leave a comment on the website. I always like to hear what you have to say. Also, search Facebook and find the Life from the Pulpit Facebook page and like us on Facebook. Get all of our updates when I go live with a program or update the blog, anything like that. Also, be sure and stop by the Life from the Pulpit blog, www.lifefromthepulpit.wordpress.com. All of my commentary there on James, Luke, and 1 John, all there, all available, all free for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. Also, go online, check out Merced Church of Christ website. MercedChurchOfChrist.org, MercedChurchOfChrist.org. Plenty of sermon audio there, lessons for you to study, learn from, use, peruse in your everyday Bible study. All there, all available, all free to use and peruse, as I said. Everything free. Same with the blog as with the website. And as always, grace be with you all. Thanks for listening.